Perspective. It's something that's hard to get and, frankly, hard to sell. I'm Scott Ott with Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, and this episode of Right Angle is brought to you by people who appreciate perspective, the members at BillWhittle.com. And, gentlemen, we joked in our backstage episode that maybe we need to clickbait headline this video, you know, hidden camera shots of Taylor Swift in her private life, just to get people to watch. But I saw a story on TheHill.com about an interview that the relatively new Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch, Trump appointee to the Supreme Court, gave. And there were two things that struck me about it. And Bill, I want to ask you first about this one thing. The Supreme Court Associate Justice Neil Gorsuch says this: "I've got great confidence in America, and I say to those who don't, look elsewhere. Where else would you rather be?" Now, Bill, we have heard people in the past say America, love it or leave it. We've heard other people who basically said, if you don't like this country, get the hell out. But this is of a different order, of Justice Gorsuch saying, look around. Where else would you rather be? What do you think of that kind of approach?
Not so much what he said as the idea behind it is, to me, the essence of conservatism and the essence of being a good Supreme Court justice as well. Because what Gorsuch is saying by that is, you think there's a perfect choice versus America, but it's not true. If all you do is find the faults in America, you can find faults till you die. And you can compare it to a place that's better than this country, but you won't find such a place. And that's the essence of it. The essence of what he is saying there is, if you really hate America, just look around. What he's really saying is, life is not perfect or perfectible, and neither are people. Sometimes life comes down to, look, if everything was a choice between a good outcome and a bad outcome, you wouldn't need a Supreme Court. You wouldn't need anything, really. It'd be pretty straightforward. But what he's basically saying is that life doesn't work that way. Sometimes you have to choose between a bad option and a worse option. And if you think America is a bad option, find me a better one. And you can't do it. And that's fundamental essence of looking at reality the way it is. I love this country not because it's perfect. I would like it to be perfect. I fully understand that it will never be perfect, like nothing else will ever be perfect. And to the degree that I want to improve it, I want to improve it, but it will never be perfect. It's just the least imperfect place to live on the planet. And Churchill also summed this thing up perfectly when he said, democracy is the worst form of government ever invented, except for all the others. And there you go. So, I was profoundly impressed by that statement, not just for the lack of anti-Americanism at the upper levels of society, but just the simple understanding that there is no perfect. It's not fair to judge America against a standard that has never been reached by anyone anywhere.
Bill, it struck me that what he was reflecting is something you don't often hear and may at first sound like an oxymoron. It was a sense of humble American exceptionalism.
Precisely correct.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's precisely correct. And frankly, it should be based on humility. If it's not, then you've got jingoism. But to understand, rationally understand that for all of its many problems, this is still the best place on earth and has been is exactly right. It should humble you, and it should also fill you with a certain kind of pride. I find that statement to be remarkable and yet another benefit of the Donald Trump presidency, having somebody like that on the court. Because there's nothing divisive about that. He's, like you said, Scott, he's not saying if you don't like it, leave. It's not the same as he's not saying what the Supreme Court needs is a wise white guy. He's just expressing its simple wisdom. And if he applies that kind of thinking to his decisions, then not only am I grateful to have him on the court, I'm grateful to the president who put him there.
For those of you not old enough to remember, Associate Justice Sonia Sotomayor once said that she thought that the court would benefit from having a wise Latina on the court, and that was the Bill's reference to the wise white guy there.
I'd just be happy for wise.
Yeah, I'll take any kind of wise I can get. Stephen Green, there was another thing that Justice Gorsuch said during this interview when he was quizzed on why or what he makes of the rightward shift of the court during the Trump administration and the sort of partisanship and division. Gorsuch said this, I just don't view judges that way. I reject the idea that that's how judges operate. And then he goes on to say that 40% of our cases are decided unanimously. The 5-4 cases, the ones that are closely divided, they make up a quarter of our docket, maybe a third. Those numbers have been consistent since the Second World War. The only thing that's new is that nothing is new. And Steve, this caught me because I've recently had some conversations with members at BillWhittle.com, some of whom are really kind of alarmed at the state of the country right now and feel like this is the worst it's ever been. But again, perspective. Justice Gorsuch is basically saying your hair doesn't have to be on fire all the time. You need to step back and look at history and realize that partisanship and division and debate and discussion have been ongoing for decades, if not centuries.
Yeah, I just beam with pride at my Colorado homeboy, just being the guy that he is every time he speaks in public, which, by the way, is not often. He's not Ruth Bader Ginsburg hitting the talk shows all the time when, you know, she's not having health problems and telling everybody, oh, this is how it's going to be and all that, which gets old in a hurry, doesn't it? There was another thing he said in that same interview. He was talking about his regret that Americans don't have the access to justice that they deserve, that trials are not speedy, that he still has a very common sense, common man concern for justice in this country. And as Bill and you both noted, he doesn't berate, he doesn't seek to incite. He has what we used to call, and maybe we still do, a judicial temperament.
There you go.
That I think has been lacking in recent years. It's not that the court is so awful. It's that the temperament that we want and expect, and maybe some people never knew or have forgotten, just hasn't been what it could be in an age where justices hit the talk shows, hit the cable news networks and such in their off time. I started to write this up for Instapundit this morning. Unfortunately, the write-up of it I came across was in USA Today, and it was just such a snarky, awful analysis piece that I can't remember who wrote it off the top of my head, but the article was filled with things like Justice Gorsuch doesn't seem very comfortable flogging his new book in public, but I bet he didn't mind the $250,000 he got paid to write it. Am I right? And it's just this piece was such the opposite of anything and everything that Gorsuch brought to this particular interview, to this book tour that he's on right now, that I think it really shows the desperation in the media to paint any Trump appointee as something that is bad and money grubbing or anything else that they can use to paint just a good and decent and judge like Neil Gorsuch.
Can I just add one thing to that?
Please do.
What he's saying is I don't see judges that way. He's giving us an insight into how the Supreme Court actually works, not how we imagine it works. We tend to think that if it's a 5-4 decision, they're on opposite sides of the table and they're throwing water in each other's faces and so on. No, these individuals come to their own individual decisions and then a vote is taken and then the vote is the vote. But when he says, I don't think of judges that way, I think that is also very, very sage advice that we should keep in mind when we talk about the Supreme Court. It is not, they don't go into those courtrooms wearing red robes and blue robes. They wear black robes and they make individual decisions based on their personal perspectives. And that's what we want. That's exactly what we want. We want people who have a very fine level of knowledge about the law to go in and disagree about things and then come to a rational decision based on that disagreement. That's how it's supposed to work. And that's how it is working. So when people say the court has lost its way, No, the court is just no longer going the way you want it to go, but it's going the way that these nine justices think it should go. And as a general rule, I think you couldn't ask for more than that.
Well, it's been many years since I went to journalism school, but one of my complaints over the years about my fellow journalists, so to speak, is the way that court decisions are covered. Rather than any kind of fruitful analysis about why decisions were made the way they were made, or trying to figure out how one side came up with its viewpoint and the other side came up with its viewpoint, instead, it's always couched in terms of a cage match. It's a media fight club. And frankly, covering the Supreme Court's not very sexy, and it's not very exciting unless there's a fight going on. And so you've got to beware as a consumer of news about people who constantly want to set you at odds with somebody else. And people who constantly want to portray everything as some sort of Donnybrook, as some sort of contest, rather than what Judge Gorsuch is saying is that judges are judges. And as Bill described, they try to make the best decision that they possibly can. There are very few, as there are very few evil people in your life, there are very few evil Supreme Court justices. Most of them are doing the best they can by their lights, by the way they understand things. And I disagree with some of them, and I agree with others. But just this idea that you could actually have some historical perspective, that you could step back for a minute, that you could analyze a case based on its merits, that, and the Supreme Court is almost always in an appellate jurisdiction. There are very few primary jurisdictions. So they're always reviewing how a case was decided previously and deciding whether that was properly done needs to be thrown back to a lower court if it violates any tenet of the Constitution. This is very, in a sense, esoteric, but also fundamental stuff. This is stuff where you've got to break it down to its essence and try to figure out what's right and what's wrong, what adheres to the text and what doesn't. And just to hear somebody say this, I guess it just shows what kind of a geek I am. The final thing that occurred to me about this is, well, two things, really. Number one, the country's in better hands than we think. It is not as bad as we always portray it. The people on the other side are not always our you know, blood-sworn enemies. So there are people out there who are literally trying to do the best they can. And frankly, I've seen interviews with Justice Ginsburg where I thought, that's a reasonable thing she just said, or that's a gracious thing she just said, or that's a you know, there were things that I could agree with in what she said, and I can still disagree with the vast body of her work on the court because she has a fundamentally different perspective. The last thing I want to say is about Judge Gorsuch himself. He's a Trump appointee. I hate Supreme Court coverage that says, and this justice was a Trump appointee, and this justice was a Reagan appointee, and this justice was a Clinton appointee. It's just, let me just say, Neil Gorsuch is his own man. President Trump and people around President Trump recognized a great justice for what he was. He's not Trump's appointee. He's Neil Gorsuch, and he's living by those lights. And the fact that he was appointed by Trump doesn't give him a particular perspective on the law. He already had a perspective on the law and the Constitution before President Trump ever heard the name Neil Gorsuch. For Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, I'm Scott Ott. Thanks to the members at BillWhittle.com for making this possible.